from the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone. July 12th, 2018. Good morning. Next hour, we're going to go to Dubai. You know Dubai over there? I think it's 118 degrees. Just talked to our next guest at 10 o'clock. We're going to talk about detox. Some experience that Malcolm Skyper had with his current wife and cystic fibrosis, that really cool. Also, Malcolm has done the old Amazonian frog thing. Have you heard about that? Some kind of frog thing. So, well, I'm going to talk about that. So, first hour, I love talking about dental things. Most people don't even like to think about the dentist, but I love talking to dentists. About 10 years ago, I somehow got in touch with a fellow from North Carolina or South Carolina, I think, where Dr. Dannenberg is, and he had one of these machines and took a picture of me and my mouth and said, "You got some cavitations," and I didn't even know what they were. Led me to Dr. Stuart Nunley. Had some cavitations, and then all the games really began from there. And then we've been doing shows on dental shows for 10 years, and had some really cool guys, and did quite a few shows with a wonderful man, Dr. Hal Huggins, who is now practicing dentistry on the other planes of reality. Cool guy. And now Alvin Dannenberg is here, and Dr. Dannenberg is in Charleston, South Carolina. He's a periodontist, has been treating patients for gum disease 44 years. Wow. Currently sees patients one day a week in Bluffton Center for Dentistry near Hilton Head there, where Andy is. And he looks at the ancestral nutrition things that we can talk about, lifestyle, with his healing edge laser protocol to treat periodontal disease. He's a functional medicine practitioner. In 2014, he received a certification for that, and he just gets around and really looks at these things. He Electra Press published the print copy of his book, Crazy Good Living, in 2017, not too long ago, based on ancestral nutrition and lifestyle, available from Amazon. His website is Dr. Dannenberg. It's Dannen. BERG.com. Good morning, Doc. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Patrick, and I am great. Thank you for inviting me. I'm excited to be here.
Wow, you sound great. Sound like just a young kid for being a dental guy for 44 years.
Yeah, I'm a young kid for being a periodontist for 44 years. Just turned 71 in April of this year, so yeah, I'm still young, kicking. I'm not sure what I want to be when I grow up, but I'm figuring it out.
Yeah. You're just going to keep on practicing? You're having fun?
I practice one day a week, but I do so many other things. I do a lot with, you know, writing, lectures, seminars. I've actually created a double-blind study that we're going to, it's going through the Institutional Review Board, which is an organization, a medical organization that actually reviews clinical studies before you can actually do them on human beings, but they're in the process of approving this, and it's going to actually study certain spore-based probiotics and a high dose of vitamin K2 supplements and how they affect and help hopefully prevent gum disease as well as improve mitochondrial function. That's a mouthful, but I'm very excited about that, so I'm doing this, and I stay active. Yeah. I stay active.
So probiotics help with the mouth health balance?
Well, yeah. So if you want, let's jump to probiotics. Sure. If you'd like to have a conversation here. So Yes, probiotics are extremely beneficial to the gut. And I wrote a paper called The Big Bang Theory of Chronic Disease. Actually, part of it was published in Wellbeing Journal in the March-April 2018 issue of Wellbeing Journal. And it actually describes, and this is my opinion, that for the most part, chronic disease really begins in the gut because of dysbiosis, an unhealthy balance of bacteria that changes the gut membrane, creates chronic inflammation in the blood system, and then permeates all the organ systems. And dental diseases, gum disease and tooth decay, are just a manifestation of the damages in the gut. So you can improve the gut in a variety of ways. Certainly lifestyle and diet is critical. But to help improve the bacteria in the gut, which is really the central focus of damage to the gut, probiotics are effective. Now, here's the interesting fact. Most probiotics, 90 to 95% of probiotics that are in the marketplace are fantastic. They're made up of all kinds of strains and numbers of bacteria in these capsules or tablets. And you swallow them, and they are producing a variety of chemicals, biologically active chemicals, metabolites, as they're called, and they improve the health of the gut and the gut membrane. However, these 90 to 95% probiotics in the marketplace, when you get them into the stomach acid destroys them completely, and maybe some get through, and then maybe the bile acids start to destroy the rest of them. So the bacteria, for the most part, that are very friendly and beneficial are dead when they get into the small intestine and large intestines. Their byproducts are great, but they are not in a position to reproduce because they're dead.
Yeah. So now, lots of times they'll give you studies, and they can show them what's in there and what they could possibly do. But that's before they get into the body.
Well, actually, they do a lot. These studies are very positive because the metabolites of these bacteria and the breakdown products of the dead cells are very positive. And the short-chain amino acids that they're producing are all beneficial. However, they're not alive. Now, there are certain types of bacteria that are called spore-based probiotics or spore-based bacteria. And these are actually naturally encapsulated. They live in the soil, but they're not living, reproducing in the soil. They're dormant in the soil. And they get into the gut, they get into the stomach, and they're resistant to the stomach acid, and they're resistant to the bile acid, so they get into the gut, and they do all the beneficial things that other probiotics do, but they also are alive, and they're growing, and they can reproduce, creating many other beneficial bacteria in the gut, and they enhance other beneficial bacteria to overgrow, or at least come into balance, so they can actually establish a healthier gut bacterial composition. Mm-hmm. So my study is related to these types of bacteria, these spore-based bacteria that actually not only help the gut because of the products that they're creating, but actually repopulate the gut's healthy bacteria. So that, in addition to a high dose of vitamin K2, which is very important for healthy mitochondria, can influence the entire system, including the mouth, because the mouth is just a continuation of this digestive tract. You know, the opening of the mouth is just the beginning, and then at the other end, there's the anus, and everything in between is a tube, and everything communicates in that tube. And the mouth will be reflective of what is happening in the gut. So if you have damage to the gut, dysbiosis, inflammatory bowel diseases will affect the mouth and vice versa.
Sure. Now, when you talk about the gut, you're talking about the small, large intestine. Right. So that's where the bacteria are happy and make babies and make grandchildren and all that.
Exactly. And we want a combination of all types that create a huge diversity of friendly bacteria that are in a state of balance called homeostasis.
Yeah.
And that's where the body derives its basically healthy situation. If we had a sterile gut, we would die.
Do you think in general, how do we, other than antibiotics, the obvious one, how do we screw up these the population in our large and small intestine?
Sure. So antibiotics actually are critical. Heavy metals are damaging. Some of the chemicals in foods like glyphosate, herbicides, and fertilizer remnants are damaging. There have been some very interesting studies about dirty electromagnetic fields from Wi-Fi and electrical poles and wires that actually disturb the bacteria and disturb the mitochondria of different cells. So these are very damaging to the gut and certain foods. So any foods that are potentially inflammatory will damage the gut, overgrowing bad bacteria and damaging the gut membrane.
Okay.
Specifically the grains and sugars.
And sugars. So let's talk about that. So we get the glyphosates, and we've done quite a few shows. So you get a material in there. Would that also be the same if somebody was like allergic or reactive to dairy or gluten? Does it do the same thing?
Yeah, well, it does damage in different ways, but it does the same thing, creating chronic inflammation.
Inflammation.
The chronic inflammation is the key, and that inflammatory state is unhealthy. Now inflammation is very important. That's the way our body heals. But it's a state of acute inflammation. You cut your finger, you get redness and swelling and tenderness and pain, and your body is creating all kinds of biologically active chemicals to repair the tissues and kill invading bacteria, and then the inflammation goes away. But when your body is constantly insulted by an irritant, and this inflammation doesn't go away, the body's chemicals that are producing this benefit in the beginning become destructive as time goes on, and that decreases the immune system's capabilities, and then it makes the rest of the body susceptible to different things that they never would be susceptible to before.
I think so the ongoing inflammation or the glyphosates or something, they'll actually kill some of the good guys.
Well, the glyphosate specifically will damage bacteria, and it actually damages the pathway that bacteria reproduce to make themselves obviously more diverse and in larger numbers. And when that happens, then pathogenic, unhealthy type bacteria can overgrow that may not be as susceptible to the glyphosate. Mm-hmm. And once that happens, it can be very damaging to the gut lining. Glyphosate also, in addition, damages the gut lining, and it helps open up spaces or holes, creating a leakage between or from the gut itself into the bloodstream. And that's where the immune system starts to take off and create the chronic inflammatory state to try to prevent these antigens from getting into the bloodstream, but they're already there, and then all hell breaks loose.
So that's the shikimate pathway that Stephanie talks about. Stephanie Seneff talks about. Yeah,
right. That's the correct pathway that is damaged by the glyphosate. But glyphosate does a lot of other things. Damages the mitochondria. It damages the gut lining, and it's damaging the actual bacteria.
And you mentioned EMFs, Doc. We had a fellow on, Paul from. Have you heard about him?
Martin Paul.
Wow, man, he was describing how
Martin
the calcium
Paul
thing
is,
gets
brilliant.
Screwed up in the cells, right. And with the EMFs.
He's a brilliant, brilliant man, and he's done a lot of research with this, and that's correct. Calcium gets screwed up. The millivoltage between the inside and outside of the cell gets screwed up. Also, the process of creating ATP, which is the energy system of the cell.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is an electrical machine, and the reason that we live and function is because of the energy that we are producing in the cells, and the cell energy is produced by the mitochondria of the cell.
Yeah.
So that complex of changing or creating the energy called ATP, adenosine triphosphate, is damaged and deregulated by dirty electromagnetic fields.
Wow. It's amazing we're still walking around with a body, Dr. Dannenberg, with these things.
So we're amazingly resilient. So this is one of the great things that the body is. It's amazingly resilient. So that really brings to the forefront that if we can repair, or not so much repair, but we can eliminate these extra toxic loads and let the body take care of the normal toxic loads that it's designed to do, we can become much healthier.
Yeah. Do you think that the having good probes in the gut is beneficial to protect a bit of what's the EMFs? Is there any conjecture for that?
So let me tell you something interesting. Yes, healthier bacteria in a higher diversity and number can help maybe offset some of the damage. But here is something very interesting. There is a tremendous amount of research that has been done with what's called pulsed electromagnetic field therapy.
Yeah, I've heard about it. Yeah.
Pulsed electromagnetic field therapy is 20 plus years old in research. It's actually been used with NASA and astronauts to prevent osteoporosis as astronauts go into space. And what it is a very low frequency, controlled wavelength of magnetic resonance that is pulse, meaning it's not continuous and it's harmonic and it goes from negative to positive polarity. And it's relatively the resonance and the magnetic field of the Earth. And this pulsed electromagnetic fields can actually repair, like you're saying, the calcium channel
really?
Interference in the cells. It can help repair the excess extra calcium in the cells. It can actually help repair the mitochondria because the resonance stabilizes the voltage between the inside and the outside of the cells. And it is theoretical that pulse electromagnetic field therapy may be balancing the damage from EMFs. So here's what I've done, if you want me to go into some detail.
Okay, let me do a little break before you do that. And I've heard about this. So is it the Schumann wave that you're doing working with or not?
I'm familiar with that concept, but these waves are a variety of waves that create a harmonic. So it is not just a particular wave. It has a variety of frequencies and amplitudes, cool. But none of them spike.
Okay, so let me do a quick little break here, and then we're going to talk. Fun guy, huh? Dr. Alvin Dannenberg. He's a dentist and still practicing one day a week down in the Hilton Head area. If you want to go see him, I'm sure you can go to his website, which would be drdannenberg.com. OneRadioNetwork.com. So we were able to put together a little sale on the rebounder. We love these rebounders. I went to a health fair in the early 90s and saw a fellow jumping around, and I gave him my credit card. I think it was about $199 at the time or something, and which is not too bad. Inflation since I guess 25 years ago. And I've been rebounding ever since, and I think it's been a key component to keep my little body happy and youthful. They're just really cool. And these are a lifetime warranty. And we have them on sale. We're not able to put the price on the website because once Google gets it, and then it gets kind of messy for the manufacturers and put this out. So we got to pick the price that we wanted, and they gave us some money off. So we have the half folds at $299 and the quarter folds, what they call the ultimate, at $339. And you can go on reboundair.com and look at the ultimate. And if you have the extra $39, I mean, and you want to get a rebounder, I'd go ahead and do it. I'd spring for that because they are, I have a couple of them. they're just stronger and meatier and heavier, and I don't know. But the half folds are great, believe me. You're going to have a good time with it. They'll last 25 years or whatever. They're a lifetime warranty. So, but that's just my own personal opinion. So, but you can get the half fold for $299. If you'd like to get the rebounder, just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. So this is in the lower 48, $299 for the half fold and $339 for the ultimate. Again, you could look at the ultimate on reboundair.com, but they sell for $429, so don't buy it there. Dr. Richard Ulrey, authority on minerals, talks about gut bacteria, making the vitamins, and absorbing the minerals, how it all works.
We need vitamins from our gut bacteria so we can absorb minerals, and then minerals provide a resonant frequency. And those minerals carry these frequencies into the body, and multiple minerals will give you a frequency that allows all of our proteins to have individual distinct frequencies, giving that three-dimensional structure. This is where Wayne's products, Living Stream, and that's the only primary products I carry. When you do a stool test and it says you don't have any bifidobacteria, well, if you don't have any bifidobacteria, you're not going to absorb certain minerals. If you don't have any lactobacillus, you're not going to absorb certain minerals.
Here's an idea of a couple of the Living Streams you can take for what we're talking about here. The Bifido, Living Streams Multi-Blend, and the Living Minerals. So you get in the minerals, the Bifido, and the lactobacillus. And these special probiotics and minerals are all in human DNA form, and they are living alive. In our store on OneRadioNetwork.com. Yeah, I didn't even know Dr. Dannenberg was a probie guy, but so that was kind of a surprise and a welcome surprise. But these are the real deal, Wayne Blakely, who I've gotten to know. He started working on these over 25 years ago to help his child with get rid of autistic symptoms, and his kid is just fine right now. Thank you very much. These guys make it through the gut. They're living the way they're made, and he feeds them, and he's been cultivating them for years, and they're really the real deal. He's got about 14 different products, and there are some of them are with the Bifido has the yttrium in it from the curcumin from India, Living Streams probiotics, that's the number one, and then the Living Minerals has 78 trace minerals that are immediately bioavailable. You can use the Living Streams probiotics with some of your other things you're going to take, like the K2. We offer the K2 with Daniel Vitalis that Dr. Dannenberg likes. And the K2, he doesn't necessarily like that one, but that's the one we promote. And it's got some D in it. So the Living Streams probiotics are really cool. If you'd like to get more information, you can talk to a lady who works with Wayne, 360-912-2981. 360-912-2981, and then order through our website. Please don't order on the phone. We won't get a commission. That's how we make a living. And all the products are in the store, and I think you'll find them very exciting products. We've only been working with them for about a month, but you can't believe some of the things are going on with my body. I had some really detox thing. That's how strong they are. So don't go overboard with them. Sometimes, you know, we think what's worth doing is worth overdoing, and it's true, man.
I know it doesn't seem that way, but maybe it's the perfect day. Even though the bills are piling, and maybe Lady Luck ain't smiling.
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Well, looks like, sounds like we found a good one here. Dr. Al Dannenberg. He's a interesting fellow, a certified functional medical practitioner. He still does dentistry after 44 years, one day a week near Hilton Head. Let's save the pulse thing for a minute, because I don't want to get out of control, because we kind of promoted this periodontist, and you know, you're so fun to talk to. I could spend a couple hours and not even do what we want to do. Let's talk a little bit about the gum disease, because this is your real specialty. So my question to you, dear doctor, sir, is when you go into the dentist, And they go and you do that little cleaning if you choose to do that. And they have that little thing and they're looking at your gums, you know, your little gappies, right? The little gaps. And somebody, right. Somebody's there writing them down, right? And they do a number. The lower the number, the better. In a perfect world, would we have zero?
No.
Okay. No.
No.
Would we have one in a perfect world? Would we have one?
Yeah. One to two, maybe three.
Oh, good.
Sorry. And even four if there's no bleeding. So the gum is a collar. So think about a collar, a tight turtleneck collar around your neck.
Yeah.
It's not attached to the skin so that you can't find the point where the collar ends and the skin begins. There's a little cuff between the turtleneck collar and your skin. That little space is called the gum sulcus, or if it gets infected, then it's called a gum pocket. Mm-hmm. And that's the little space that the dentist measures with this little intricate measuring tool called a periodontal probe.
Yeah.
So when he measures or she measures those spaces, there should be some kind of a space. There is a collar. There is a definitive space between the gum and the tooth before it literally seals to the tooth root and bone. And that space is measured anywhere normally from 1 to maybe 3 millimeters without bleeding, without inflammation. It can get deeper. It can get deeper from disease. And after it's treated, the depth may be deeper. So it could go to 4 without bleeding. And that's not a problem as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, really?
But once the problem begins and it gets deeper because active infection is out of control, then that infection and inflammation begins to damage the structure, or can damage the structure that holds the tooth in place, which is the bone structure. And then it also can begin to invade the vascular system, gets into the bloodstream, and creates chronic inflammation, just like damage to the gut can leak into the bloodstream through the gut membrane and create chronic inflammation.
And does it work the other way too? Or if you could have the inflammation in your arteries or something like that and could work your way up to the stomach, mouth as well?
In my opinion and from the research I read, it literally starts in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we know that? Well, you could go back 10 or 20,000 years and you can look at dental skeletal remains, you know, jaw bones with teeth,
mm-hmm.
from our primal ancestors from 10,000 to 20,000 years ago. And what you might find in the majority of the skulls, not all, but the majority, you wouldn't see tooth decay, or if you did, it would be rare. And the jawbone would be healthy for the most part, but there would be a calcified structure between the tooth and the bone of these remains. And that calcified structure is actually dental plaque becoming dental calculus. And today there are scientific ways to measure through DNA what those bacteria actually were.
You're kidding.
And you can find that these bacteria. Yeah, absolutely. And you can find, and they will tell you, these researchers can identify a huge number and diversity of bacteria that are in a state of homeostasis, in balance around the gum called dental plaque. And there's no disease because there's no tooth decay or gum bone disease. So these primal ancestors obviously ate healthy. They ate from the land. They didn't have any damaged foods or chemicals and other lifestyle issues that cause damage to the gut that can create damage to the mouth. There are more recent studies. Just in 2017, Dr. Wolber in Germany did a phenomenal study where he took a group of people that actually had active gum disease.
Mm-hmm.
And he separated them into a group that they originally were eating a lot of unhealthy foods, lots of grains, lots of sugars. He separated them into a group Both groups could brush their teeth, but they could not clean between the teeth with any dental floss or little cleaning devices. Mm-hmm. They measured the gum pockets and the bacteria and the bleeding around the gums, and they all had a lot of bacteria and pockets and bleeding. And then they took half of the group, and they told them to eat the same way that they were. And then the other half of the group started to eat in a healthier way, a nutrient-dense way. They eliminated grains. They eliminated sugars. They eliminated a lot of the inflammatory foods. And they did that for 4 weeks. At the end of 4 weeks, again, they could brush their teeth, but both groups could not clean between the teeth. At the end of 4 weeks, the group that continued to eat their unhealthy foods, the grains and the sugars, still had and had even deeper gum pockets and more bleeding. And they obviously could not clean between the teeth, and they had lots and lots of plaque. The other group that could brush but still couldn't clean between the teeth but had to eat the healthier foods had less pocket depth, less bleeding, but a lot of dental plaque. But the dental plaque was in a state of homeostasis. It was at balance. It wasn't causing disease. Dental plaque is healthy until it's not healthy. As a matter of fact, dental plaque is one of the healthy biofilms in the body that are important. So to use certain chemicals and measures to eliminate dental plaque is unhealthy and not natural.
What about dental scraping plaque, them off? You don't want to go and do the dental plaque cleaning thing?
Okay, so let's talk about the soft plaque is healthy until it's unhealthy.
Right.
It's unhealthy because of bad gut bacteria and bad foods that are feeding the changes in the bacteria and making them more pathogenic, like sugars and grains. So let's assume you have this unhealthy dental plaque. You need to clean your mouth. And what happens with the dental plaque is that it can calcify, it gets under the gum and creates calculus, but this is now unhealthy.
Okay.
Because you're in a state of dysbiosis in the mouth. And once you have that irritant under the gum and you have this unhealthy environment in the mouth and the gut, you need to remove that tartar that's under the gum because it's like a splinter in your finger. So if you had a splinter in your finger and you never removed it, you could be the healthiest person, but that splinter could cause infection because there's bacteria in the area and it's penetrating the skin, and your body's resistance is not taking care of the bacteria.
What's healthy?
So you have to remove this tartar.
Well, what's healthy plaque look like?
Well, healthy dental plaque generally is invisible.
Oh.
And maybe there's a slight film to it that you might see, but here's what healthy dental plaque will not do. Healthy dental plaque will not cause inflammation or redness in the gum. Healthy dental plaque does not cause bleeding, and it doesn't cause any cytokine reactions because this body is in a state of homeostasis. So it's not fighting infection by creating inflammation on a chronic basis.
So if you would see, I remember years ago, you could actually see some dark stuff on the inside of the, you know, in the under, you know, if you look in the mirror, right? What is that? I don't have that anymore.
The dark stuff, where would it be?
Like if you look on the inside of your mouth, I'm opening my mouth here in the mirror, and you look on the inside of the tooth, like on the lower thing, kind of like,
okay,
yeah, kind of darkish, so, brownish. Is that calcified,
okay,
plaque?
Okay, so between the root, the gum and the root of the tooth, there could be some tartar that could be in a variety of actual colors, but it could be dark brown, or sometimes it's even green. But this hard structure is tartar, and it should be removed because it's an irritant. Now, you could see a brownish color that's different than the color of the enamel of the tooth if you have some gum recession, because the root of the tooth has a more yellowish brownish color than the enamel. So that is natural, normal, and you shouldn't be concerned. Now, the gum may have receded for a variety of reasons. And the bone may have broken down for a variety of reasons, which may not be healthy. But once the area may become healthy, the root still may be exposed. But if it's not diseased or sensitive, then it's not a problem.
And it's just on the tooth itself, it could even be coffee or tea stains or something too.
Certainly, yes. Yeah, so the root is more porous than the enamel. So if you're eating blueberries, drinking red wine, drinking coffee, eating chocolate, strawberries, a variety of pigmented foods that could stain the surface of the root, it will change the color. Correct.
We've done some shows on the mouth and the microbiome and all of that. As you know, you've heard some of them. So what about the theory that's been put forth on this show that if you take something, let's see, in the mouth, how would I say this, that would kill something like, I don't know, even essential oils or colloidal silver or baking, you know, stuff like that, that would actually, and that messes up the actual microbiome. Do you subscribe to that premise?
Absolutely not.
Oh, you don't?
So I do not promote that kind of treatment. Now, I really shouldn't say treatment. I don't promote that on a daily basis. Yes, if you have active gum disease and you're going to a dentist that understands the biology of the human body correctly, then we need to get that acute infection under control. So just treating the gut and making your body's overall health better is not necessarily going to get that active acute infection under control. So sometimes you need certain medicaments in the mouth that kill a lot of the bad bacteria as well, unfortunately, as the good bacteria for a short course of time, like a week to 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, to get a more established balance of bacteria. But then you have to remove the irritants that are causing it, meaning you have to get a healthy gut. You have to start eating healthier foods that are not inflammatory. That is a critical long-term event. But if you use an antimicrobial mouthwash every day, and that is in a variety of ways, there are antimicrobial mouthwashes, there are liquids and chemicals that you can put in your mouth that will kill bacteria, and you do that every day, you will destroy a huge number of healthy bacteria and damage your mouth and the overall body, because it will affect the dental plaque, which is healthy. It has a certain purpose when it's healthy, and it will change the body's ability to make nitric oxide, which actually can increase blood pressure. If you're killing good bacteria, you can have an increase in blood pressure, increase in cardiovascular risk, increase in brain dysfunction because it affects the neurons, and even an increase in gum disease, because nitric oxide helps to minimize active gum disease.
Right. I understand what you're saying, but the protocol, the protocol that we were talking about conjectures that it does not kill the good guys, and that's the whole point of the protocol.
Okay, so I don't believe that.
Okay.
And I don't see the research that suggests that. Antimicrobials are indiscriminate. There is no way that there are certain antimicrobials that say these are good guys, these are bad guys. As a matter of fact, the majority of potentially pathogenic bacteria are not pathogenic when they're in a state of balance. If you were to look at healthy dental plaque, meaning there's no gum infection, but the plaque around the teeth, maybe there's as many as 700 varieties. Most cannot even be cultured by normal measures because they're anaerobic. They get killed by oxygen. So as soon as you take them out of their environment, they're dead. But these bacteria produce a variety of chemicals that protect the mouth.
Right. We understand the idea of killing microbes, but what if you're not killing any microbes?
Well, if it's antimicrobial, it's killing microbes.
What antimicrobial are you speaking of?
If you use that essential oils every day in your mouth, and bad bacteria.
Okay, if you use
chlorhexidine, you will. If you use Listerine, you will kill good bacteria.
Oh, if you use Listerine, right.
If you use oil pulling for 10 minutes a day every day, you will kill good bacteria.
What about this closest, you know, that chlorine dioxide?
Yeah, you'll kill good bacteria. And here's the thing. It's not so much that you're only killing bad bacteria. You're disrupting the normal homeostasis of bacteria. So some obviously bacteria will survive, but they're not in balance anymore. So what I'm saying is the dental plaque, if you were to identify the bacteria in the dental plaque, there are very virulent strains in that dental plaque, but they're in a state of balance in a very low ratio. When, for instance, you kill other bacteria, these pathogenic bacteria overgrow and become diseased.
Yeah, I understand.
And if you only kill the pathogenic bacteria, it can change other bacteria that would never be pathogenic, and they would overgrow and create disease. Yeah. Everybody's mouth is unique like a fingerprint.
Gotcha.
So you can't say this bacteria is going to harm you, but it won't harm that other person. Everybody's mouth constituency of bacteria has its own fingerprint.
Right.
And you just don't want to indiscriminately kill bacteria.
Right. The closest thing, this chlorine dioxide supposedly just oxygenates and doesn't kill the good guys.
Oxygenation, like hydrogen peroxide, will kill
good. No, it's different, though, from hydrogen peroxide.
I know, but that is an oxygenating process.
All right.
And it will kill good as well as bad bacteria.
Fair enough. So what would be your...
And it will damage the homeostasis of the bacteria in the mouth.
Fair enough. What would be then your favorite way to clean the teeth? Knowing what you...
Absolutely.
With what you believe.
Okay. First of all, I am telling you and everybody that I talk to, we need to change our diet and lifestyle to support a healthy microbiome in the mouth. Let's assume we're thinking in those terms. And even if we're not thinking in those terms, what do we do mechanically to clean the mouth? So we don't want to kill all the dental plaque, but we want to remove the unhealthy plaque. It's like when I take a shower, which I do every day, I'm not using an antimicrobial soap to kill every bacterium on my body. I want to use whatever is necessary to remove the excess bacteria and dead cells. But there's plenty of a film of healthy bacteria on my body. We need that. So we need that healthy film in the mouth. So we're not going to use chemicals on a daily basis to destroy good bacteria, but we're going to mechanically remove the overgrown unhealthy bacteria. The way to do that is to take a toothbrush and brush between the gum and the tooth. Think about where the gum in the tooth is like where the wall meets the floor in a room.
Right.
And that little crevice where the wall meets the floor is where the dirt and dust want to accumulate. Where the tooth meets gum, that little gum space, it's where bacteria wants to accumulate. But overgrowth of bacteria is what we're going to eliminate by taking a toothbrush, a soft bristle toothbrush, either a regular or electric toothbrush, putting it between that gum and the tooth at a 45-degree angle, and very gently brushing it horizontally to slightly scrub off the soft excess bacteria. You'll still leave the basic film of healthy bacteria under the gum, but you're removing the excess unhealthy bacteria. Then you can take a little cleaning device. One of the brands that I really love is called the TEPE Easy Pick. It's a little, it almost looks like a little baby, tiny bottle brush. Has little bristles that are basically silicone.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And they clean where the gum meets the tooth. You clean between the teeth, in and out. And that will remove the excess bacteria at the gum line. It's not destroying the film of bacteria that's healthy, but it's removing the excess bacteria. And then there is a tremendous amount of excess bacteria in the top of the tongue. Now, most of this bacteria deep under the layer of the bacteria are very important for creating nitric oxide in the body. So you're not killing, and you don't want to kill the bacteria in the tongue, but you want to scrape off the excess bacteria and food particles that are breaking down that creates 80% of mouth odor that's coming from the mouth. It comes from the top part of the tongue. So you take a teaspoon, and you can buy tongue scrapers, but what's easier is take a teaspoon, invert it, put it to the back of your tongue on the top, just back close to your throat area, just before you want to gag, and scrape your tongue, pull the teaspoon forward, and you'll scrape a fluid that you'll see on the bottom of the spoon. Do that two or three times at a moment, and do it twice a day. And that fluid is the excess bacteria and food particles that are decaying. And if you don't believe that that's where a bad breath comes from, take that fluid, put it on the top of your hand, let it dry a little bit, and then take a whiff of it, and you'll see what your breath smells like.
Are there some different ingredients in toothpaste that you stay away from for sure?
Yes, I don't use any commercial toothpaste at all. So I don't like the ingredients in toothpaste. Actually, I'm in the process of thinking about creating a totally organic toothpaste. But right now, I would use, first of all, you don't need toothpaste to clean your mouth. Totally unnecessary. You can use simply a toothbrush and some filtered water, and you're great. But if you want to use a toothpaste, what I recommend my patients do is take their toothbrush, dip it in some coconut oil a little bit, and then dip it in some baking soda, and then brush with that. Now, the coconut oil has some, very little, but some antimicrobial, bacterial, antiviral function, but you're only using a little bit in an isolated area. It's very diluted because it's with the saliva, and you're not using two tablespoons in your mouth. You're just using enough on the toothbrush to dab the baking soda. So the baking soda has a little bit of an abrasiveness to it, and it removes some food stains near the root of the tooth, but it also helps to neutralize the excess acid that you may have in your mouth. And it's a very good non-abrasive cleaning device when it's used gently, like I explained how you brush your teeth. So you can use it on the toothbrush, as well as you could dip the TP Easy Picks into that solution and clean between the teeth with it.
What do you think about the oral DNA test?
Okay, so oral DNA identifies a variety of some bacteria. And the question would be, okay, you have some bacteria. If you have active disease, we need to get rid of the active disease. I do not believe, in my opinion, that an antimicrobial is the best way to do that. I think that changing the diet and doing a deep type of cleaning to remove the irritant that's under the gum will help reduce and repopulate the bacteria. But if you have a very active infection, then sometimes an antibiotic is necessary.
Sure.
But this is a short-term solution to an acute infection that now has to be made into a stable homeostatic environment when you don't want to just kill bacteria indiscriminately.
How would you explain, I think it was about a year ago, Doc, I did a oral DNA and had quite a few bad guys. I think they measured 11 or 12. You've seen the test, right?
Yes.
And I had quite a few of them. And then I went on this protocol using the closest, and I think it was Crest and xylitol. And,
sure.
And then I, about 3 months later, I did it. And boy, it really went down, all these bad guys. How do you explain that?
Sure. It will. You're killing a lot of bad guys, but you didn't even understand all the good bacteria that you killed in addition to that. That's never tested. So the problem is you're killing a lot of good and bad bacteria. But if you were to change your diet, and the last study that I mentioned to you that Dr. Wolber did that was published in 2017 actually has shown that if you change the diet and you're eating in a more non-inflammatory diet, the bacteria in the mouth changes, even though the plaque can be extremely heavy, and the bacteria becomes a more homeostatic biofilm.
But how do you explain that on this new protocol that I tried, the actual gum pockets decreased?
Yes, you can. By removing the inflammation, the gum pockets decrease. But the problem is your immune system is still weakened because of the inflammatory foods that you might be eating, and maybe still damage in the gut, but you're killing the bacteria that's creating the inflammation in your mouth, but you're also killing good bacteria that is necessary that you're not understanding the consequences of.
Okay.
In addition, you're not taking care of the real source of the bacteria. So if you would have to continue this regimen, or the bad bacteria are going to come back in greater numbers again.
Yeah, I understand. No, it's interesting.
What is more important is to get to the real cause. If there's an active infection, I totally agree with you. Use these chemical agents for a short period of time to get back to a state of homeostasis, but correct what's really causing the problem so that doesn't get out of balance any longer.
But you're making the argument that if you eat, that grains are really a bad food, right?
I am making an argument that the grains are inflammatory and damages the gut microbiome that can infect the membrane that can create chronic inflammation.
Yeah, yes. You know, it's hard for me to get my head around that, but I don't know. I mean, people have been eating grains since the beginning of time. I mean,
no,
is everybody? Hold on a second.
Grain,
is everybody?
No, excuse me a second. Grain.
Is everybody in China that eats white rice every day have inflammation of the gut? Are you saying?
No, I'm not saying that.
Well, that's what
I'm
they eat. That's what they eat, Doc.
They can have damage to the gut lining. It may not. China is not the healthiest country in the world. You realize that.
Yeah, and, well, neither is the United States. Right.
Far from it.
Far from it. Right.
And far from it. And if you were to eat a grain like rice, it's not as damaging as wheat, rye, and barley because of the gluten. So you have to put all of these factors together.
Yeah.
And white rice probably is the least affected or effective grain that's damaging the gut.
Probably so, isn't it?
But there are some cross-reactivities. And if it's brown rice, because of the lectins in the coating of the brown rice, it's more damaging to the gut lining than white rice. But white rice is basically all carbohydrate. So you're dealing with a lot of excess carbohydrates in the body that are a problem for a variety of other reasons with insulin control.
Yeah. Well, you know, this whole grain thing.
There's not only one factor that creates the problem.
Right.
It is a variety of factors that compound. And your body, we talked about how resilient it is. Your body is amazingly resilient. So if you eat certain foods that may be a problem, but you're not eating them every single day, or you're eating them every single day, but you're not doing all the other things that are insults to your body, then your body is resilient and it can heal. When you eat gluten, for example, that can damage the gut lining, the gut lining can heal within 3 to 4 days. If you ate gluten one day and didn't eat it for another week or two, and you had gluten again, the lining would be healed. The acute inflammation that it may create would heal itself, and then it would go away. But if you were to eat a gluten product every day and have other chemical irritants and other things going on in your body with Wi-Fi signals affecting maybe your gut, and you're under a lot of stress, all of these toxic load to your body creates a chronic damaged area that over time creates a problem.
Great, and it does create a problem. So didn't you advocate then just of a more paleo type diet?
I believe in a paleo-ish type of a diet.
Ish.
Here's what because there are certain things that are not going to be as irritating as others. From everything I read and my research, and what I go back, like I mentioned to you about our primal ancestors, if we look at all of these things in this big scope, the gluten types of foods and the grains are inflammatory to the gut.
Huh.
The sugars are irritating and feeding bad bacteria in the gut. Those are the two huge elements that I remove. Now, casein from milk products can be very irritating to the gut lining, and the immune system may look at casein because it kind of mimics gluten in chemical structure, and it could still be a problem. So I remove at least pasteurized milk products.
Yeah.
Raw milk products may be extremely healthy for a lot of people, but some people are sensitive to lactose. But there are other products that theoretically paleo would exclude, but I would include. What I basically believe is that if you look at a plate of food, more than 50% should be non-starchy vegetables, either steamed or sautéed or raw. And that food, and we can call that a plant-based or a proportionally plant-based diet, is what every plate of food should look like. And it should be added with healthy fats to help absorb the minerals and what else is the nutrients in the non-starchy vegetables. I believe that less than a quarter of a plate should be consisting of animal protein that is wild caught and grass-fed, certainly not conventionally fed beef, certainly not conventionally raised poultry, certainly not farmed fish, because there are a variety of inflammatory elements to these foods. So I would have less than a quarter of a plate in animal protein and slightly less than a quarter of a plate making up maybe some nuts and seeds, maybe some fruit like the berries, maybe a starchy vegetable like a sweet potato. And that would be a very healthy, nutrient-dense, non-inflammatory plate of food.
That would be chicken, fish, or whatever you want. Beef, just grass-fed,
like
good stuff. Yeah,
chicken would be pasture-raised, not conventionally raised.
So, Dr. Danenberg, do you, you know, because we've had Dr. Gundry on and a lot of different people and Tom O'Brien and, you know, all the folks. So do you think a big picture that we are going to see as a culture someday that that's just this overgrain thing that we've done the last 50 years has been an issue, been a problem?
I think that grain is a problem. Yeah. I think that the science will show you from the last 10,000 years until now, there has been a slow but progressive breakdown in our bodies. Chronic disease is at an all-time high. It is a combination of the grains that are irritating, but the chemicals that are sprayed on the grains, the other elements like heavy metals and a variety of other things that are compromising the immune system, all of these things taken in total create an overload to our liver and to our body's ability to naturally detoxify. And one of the unfortunate manifestations is chronic inflammation, which then affects everything else in the body, and it makes it more susceptible to things that normally our body would protect us from. And that is where we are today.
Fair enough.
50% of people have chronic diseases that are taking at least one medication for a diagnosed chronic disease. So there are many undiagnosed chronic diseases.
Yeah, of course. So you're arguing that, if I hear you, that the grains are just a part, say, let's just say last 50 years, right? When you and I were kids. So the grains are just a part of maybe more chemicals, GMO, enter glyphosates, EMFs, more chemicals, and then I guess also and prescription medicines or some, and then
absolutely.
Who knows,
and
right?
Lifestyle
and
changes,
then stress, so right? Then stress and blah, blah, blah.
Totally stress. You can eat
anything,
an extremely
right?
healthy diet. You can exercise beautifully.
Yeah.
You can sleep wonderfully. Yeah. But if you're under a tremendous amount of psychological stress, even I have some pictures in my book that show this, you can damage the gut lining to the point where you decrease the immune system's ability to function properly and create huge lesions in your mouth that are totally unrelated to bacteria.
I agree.
Totally unrelated to anything other than the stress that damaged the bacteria, that damaged the immune system.
Yeah, I agree, sir. I went through a thing with my stomach, and at the end of the day, I really figured out that it was just overthinking. What I'm saying? I really got to that point. It was just fascinating to say, wow, is that possible?
But boy, it is possible.
It is possible. You know, you're really on it. Well, you're a fun guy to talk to. I appreciate it. Yeah, just great. We should do it again sometime.
Controversial too, by
well,
the way.
Well, that's all right. Well, we like it, you know. We like it, you know. But yeah, we should do it again sometime. So tell folks about what you do if they'd like to learn more about you before we go.
Sure. So my publisher, Elektra Press, put my print copy of my book out to booksellers called Crazy Good Living on October 2017. So it's available at all booksellers, especially Amazon, which is the easiest to get to. My website, as you mentioned, is drdanenberg.com, drdanenberg.com. I have all kinds of articles on there and quite a number of papers that I research and talk about. All my articles are linked to PubMed research, medical research, so I don't just speak anecdotally, I speak with references. I do consultations on the phone. I have done Skype consultations on a regular basis as far away as Australia. So a lot of people think that I may know something that I can help them with. So we have consultations on the phone. And I do practice one day a week in an area near Hilton Head called Bluffton. And the office is called Bluffton Center for Dentistry, one day a week.
I have three different questions here, and they're just real quick.
Yes.
And let me just jump back. I shouldn't do it. It's poor radio, but I'm going to do it. Okay, three quick questions for you. How much vitamin K2 do you recommend?
Yeah, so the study that I am actually doing in my office, that I'm working with the Institutional Review Board, uses a vitamin K2 MK7 product that has 320 micrograms per day.
Micros per day. Couple other questions. What does Dr. Danberg think about either glycerin and or fluoride in toothpaste? Glycerin and fluoride.
Don't like either one, especially I do not like the fluoride. There's no reason that you use fluoride. Fluoride will kill bacteria. I get it. Fluoride is a barrier to prevent decay, sort of. I get that. It's also a neurotoxin, which is very unhealthy. The real reason for decay is not because we lack fluoride. We are not deficient in fluoride. The reason we have decay is the free sugars in our foods create an environment where bacteria become pathogenic, eat these free sugars, create a lot of acid that demineralize the roots of the teeth.
And years ago, we had a dentist tell us, that this was 30 years ago, that glycerin inhibits the remineralization of the teeth. Is that true?
I have seen some anecdotal information. I've never seen a medical paper that shows that, so I can't say that. But there is a coating of a glycerin that may affect the surface of the root and affect the actual plaque formation. I do not want anything in my mouth that is going to prevent the natural pedicle to form to the root of the tooth, preventing dental plaque. Dental plaque is healthy. I would prefer not to have unhealthy dental plaque. So therefore, I eat a very nutrient-dense, anti-inflammatory diet, and I know how to clean my mouth mechanically so I can remove excess bacteria that might cause a problem, but not destroy the natural biofilm.
And you're okay with salt and baking soda?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what Dr. Nunley recommended for me years ago. Well, Dr. Danberg, thanks a lot. Have a good time there in the Carolinas. And
thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, it was
Patrick.
Fun.
This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, great fun. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Okay, cool. Dr. Al Danberg, he was fun. So now we're going to go to, let's see, where are we going? We're going to go to Dubai. I don't even know where that is.
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.